Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy, the show that talks 100% LA Galaxy soccer. We're glad you could join us. Now it's time to sit back and relax as your hosts navigate through the twisting, turning, but never boring world of the five-time MLS Cup champion, LA Galaxy. And now, here are your hosts, Josh Guessman and Wendy Thomas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Guessman, along with Miss Wendy Thomas. Welcome to another fun edition of a Thursday night show, a live show. If you ever miss our live shows, if you've ever not caught our live shows, you're missing out on a bunch of fun. Let me tell you, we have a great time. Great, great, great time. We got a fun show put together for you today, although I will certainly admit that I don't think this is one of those few shows where I don't have any show notes. All right, and it's probably because I have literally not been working on LA Galaxy-related things for more than 5 minutes in the past 24 hours. I think even when I was sleeping, that was the case. So let's just talk to Wendy first and then see how she's doing. Wendy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Josh. I actually have not been dreaming about the LA Galaxy while I sleep, so I have a little bit of time away from the team, unlike you.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels that way. Sometimes it comes fast and furious, Wendy. Sometimes you don't, and sometimes you don't have any choice. It's like, oh, I just want a nice, quiet day. Nope, not a nice, quiet day. So lots of stuff going on with the LA Galaxy in terms of transfer rumors, and of course, we're going to touch on all that. If you listen to our Monday show, we gave you some speculation sort of on where everything changed and how much that had changed just in the span of a few days. And that sort of continues to be the evolving point right now, Wendy, is that things are changing by the minute. And I wouldn't be surprised that as I'm sitting here, if we didn't have another change while everything was going. So I guess this podcast being live, at least for now, makes me feel comfortable in the fact that it will be exactly accurate as soon as I say it. And then after that, it'll be completely irrelevant. Yeah. So,
what is tell me about your stories?
Are you trying to add the letter Z into everything? I feel like that's what you're trying to get at.
Do you have a story about Swedish meatballs?
Meatball might be an accurate description of him sometimes.
Is it a big Swedish meatball?
It is. It's a rather tall one. I would say that. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, as seems to be every month or so, has been linked again with the LA Galaxy. I have published a story on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can go and read that story. In fact, I suggest that you do because I think it will probably have more details, or at least I'll be able to recall more details in the story than I will be able to recall here on the podcast because things have been moving quickly, so in order to try to get those down and figure out where everything is going, I would suggest that you head on over to thecornerofthegalaxy.com and give me a little click on that story with Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Looks like he's at least trying to come to Los Angeles. The LA Galaxy are trying to sign Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I wouldn't say that he's their only target they're currently going after. I think that there might be another one, but currently, as it stands, he looks like he's the number one, which if you would have asked me a week ago, Wendy, I would have told you, no, that's not happening. So,
well, yeah, I remember a couple weeks ago you told me that there was at least three names ahead of him.
Yeah, easily three names ahead of him. And I think that as you look at the priority of these names and how they have sort of ticked off or at least gone down that list, you can understand why maybe some, and I will try to do that for us tonight, is I will try to give you the priorities of the list, at least as I understood them, and then try to break those down in terms of, you know, why things didn't work out, or at least speculation. A lot of this is speculation. We're having to connect dots that at least I can see one dot over here and one dot over here, Wendy, and then somewhere in between I'm supposed to draw a picture of a bear. Right. And so I know a cute little bear. He's so cute.
Cute bear.
So I'm trying to draw a picture of a bear with two dots, basically, which.
Why don't you break it down for us? Why don't you lay it out? Tell us what's gone down with each of the each of the targets.
Right.
And let us know why Zlatan is
currently at least in the lead on those. Right. Okay, so we know that Gignac was probably the number one target for the LA Galaxy, or at least he seemed to be the number one for a while. We also have heard names of Dario Benedetto, which was a name that got thrown out there, and I know it got a lot of people excited, but there never seemed to be any momentum for that, and I could never really find anything that would lead credence to the fact the LA Galaxy were seriously interested in him. It may have just been an agent linking him to the LA Galaxy and nothing more, because I feel like it didn't have a lot of legs that way. So that's Dario Benedetto. Then there is the Javier Hernandez Chicharito stuff that you have that we can talk about as well. And then you had Jonathan Dos Santos in there as well, which is maybe a latecomer, but also a name that we've heard before. So Jonathan Dos Santos in there, and then Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Those are the names right now that are being at least linked to the LA Galaxy and at one point or another may have had some legs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so where we stood last week, I believe even as we recorded, Wendy, is that it looked like the Gignac deal was still the A-plus deal, all right? But the reason that was the A-plus deal is everybody was under the impression that Tigres was going to come down on their offer. And or at least come down on what they were demanding for Gignac. I don't think that the player still seems like he wanted to come to Los Angeles. All the reports have said that. It seems like the Galaxy would have liked to have Gignac, but the number that is still being tossed around by Tigres, which we all thought would be a budge or that things would have come down, is somewhere in the $15 million range, which is ridiculous money for an MLS club that's never going to happen. All right.
I know that there's other clubs in the running. I heard that in Turkey there was an offer made for him for 3 million euros.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, he's 31 years old. I'm not sure what, if he has another year in his contract and they're going to offload him when he's 32 or 33.
No, it doesn't make sense.
What do they think is going to get paid for him?
And see, that's the problem. And whenever you try to rank these and the information that we get, Wendy, you and I would sit here and go, reasonably, they're asking too much money. And that reasonably, they should come down off that, right? And if they come down off that, then let's see how much it is. But even if they came down, let's say they chopped it in half, and even more than half, let's say it's $7 million, right, is what they want, which I still think is probably a high number, but I always thought it would get done between $7 and $8 million if that's what it was. But even if you do that and you add his likely salary, which I would say would be $3 to $4 million a year, the outlay in cash then is somewhere in the $10 to $11 million range. And that's a ton of money. That's a lot of money whenever you think about it. But at 31 years old, if you lay that over what is probably 4 or 5 years, right? Because that's what you're going to have to do with the Galaxy. You're keeping this guy until he's 35. You're probably maybe even keeping him until he's 36 if it all works out. So that's the length and term of the contract you would have to go to make the $11 million sort of pencil out across those years. Does that make sense? I mean,
I do this for a living. I get it. I mean, I'm a little surprised they didn't come off. I think that one thing that may play into it is that a lot of teams conceptualize foreign leagues as a collective. So they just think of MLS, Russia, China as all being the same when they're actually very, very different from a business standpoint. So China just willy-nilly spends ridiculous sums of money for players because in that country, these players are also a form of political currency with their government, with the central authorities in communist China. And so it has there's totally different reasons for why a team would spend money for a player in China versus in the United States, where MLS is actually an extremely pecunious league in terms of the money that it spends tends to be pretty tight-fisted in terms of the way that salaries are very controlled, transfer fees are very limited.
Right.
And so one problem is that they just think, oh, it's a foreign team and like it's in the United States, they'll just pay a lot of money without really having a good foundation of how MLS finances itself. And I remember in the summer, in this past offseason, when I was reading about that club in the Netherlands that was trying to obtain a transfer fee for that player from the Eredivisie. And I remember reading it and I said, I don't think that these guys actually know how MLS works because they were thinking, oh, they'll just pay whatever. And that's just not how MLS is. MLS is tight-fisted. From the perspective of soccer leagues, MLS is tight-fisted.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I'm also going to have to ask a friend, or can I phone a friend for the definition of pecunious? Can you say that again?
Pecunious?
Yeah, I'm going to need a definition.
That's a good one. Look that one up.
I mean, I'm sure I could contextually clue that one together, but I don't know that I have the brain power to do it right now. So anybody,
for anyone who is parsimonious can explain that to Josh.
Again, if you keep using the big words, it's going to be a short show. I'm warning you right now. But anyway, no.
I like to be loquacious in an extemporaneous fashion.
My favorite word is plethora, and that's about
plethora is a good one. There are a plethora of reasons why the LA Galaxy should not sign Ibrahimovic. How about that?
And a plethora of reasons why they should sign Ibrahimovic. So, yes, we'll get to that. We're gonna have fun with that. But, you know, so that's sort of where you're at. So it looks like they never came down off the number, or the LA Galaxy lost interest in it. I mean, those are the two options. I don't have any information specifically that says either of those is true or either of those is not true. That is what we're seeing right now. And as everything moves away from Gignac...
So it's not Gignac, and you said you don't think it ever really was Benedetto.
Yeah, I think Benedetto is sort of a false flag, or at least up to a certain point. I'm sure it may have been mentioned one time. Maybe somebody gave a call and asked, and then they said, "No, that's not going to happen." And he had a lot of suitors from Europe as well.
He wants to play in the Copa because Boca Juniors qualified for the Copa, and I heard that he wants to play in it.
It wouldn't surprise me because he spent his own money to get back there. So he is very much a, you know, sort of a homegrown guy, and he really likes it there. So it would make sense, all those things. So Benedetto's out right now, at least as far as we can tell. Gignac's out. If you were paying any attention to Twitter yesterday, you may have seen a tweet from me that said something to the fact that the LA Galaxy president Chris Klein and LA Galaxy general manager, from what we understood, were not in the country yesterday. All right. I can tell you that I was attempting to get LA Galaxy president Chris Klein on the show this Thursday, and we had been setting some things up, but he was unable to do that because he was traveling. Okay, so that also fits into those different things. So Chris Klein out of the country. Here is the speculation part. There's a little bit based on fact and a little bit of speculation on our part. We know that Chris Klein was not in the United States. He was out of the country. Okay, the likelihood that he was in Monterrey, Mexico on Tuesday is probably pretty high. There's two reasons to be in Monterrey, Mexico, Wendy. Home of Tigres, by the way. One reason is to give it one last stab at the old Gignac and see if they can pull it together. Or two is that I believe the Dos Santoses, that would be Giovanni and Jonathan and their dad, have a house in Monterrey. All right. Mm. So that is where the Jonathan Dos Santos rumors continue to sort of float around. I would say right now there are two players the LA Galaxy are looking at. At least seriously in terms of who they could bring in. One is Jonathan Dos Santos, and one is Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and those are the two people. Now, I don't think the odds are equal right now. All right? So as we look at this and we look at why Chris Klein would be in Monterrey, Mexico, he could be speaking to Tigres, or he could be speaking to the Dos Santoses. All right? Here seems to be a holdup, or at least a pause for the LA Galaxy right now. We know that Roman Alessandrini came into the club as a designated player, and is signed, we believe, for 3 years. Okay, so he basically goes from this year through the 2019 season, if my math is correct, all right? Then you go and you look at their other designated player, which is Giovanni Dos Santos, currently with the LA Galaxy designated player. And we also believe, as far as I can tell right now, that his contract also runs through that 2019 season, or right around there, 2018, 2019. I don't have exact specifics, but needless to say, there is enough of a timeline on these that these guys are going to be with the club for a significant time longer unless they figure out a way to transfer them out, okay? So one of the things that seems to have popped up in the front office's mind, at least from what I can tell, is being locked in with three designated players all in the same term. In fact, all of the same guys doing the same things for the same amount of time, okay? And what they see this as, and perhaps correctly, perhaps incorrectly, I'm not here to lay blame right now, but what they see that is an inflexibility, all right? And so they see that an inflexibility and not being able to go out and possibly in the near future and not too far down the road add another designated player unless the league adds a fourth DP, which right now I would say the odds of that aren't very likely. Okay, so they see if you went out and signed somebody like a Gignac, or you go out and sign somebody like a Jonathan Dos Santos, if you have to give them 4-year deals or 3.5-year deals, whenever you're looking at what the time frame is you're trying to sign them, you're locking them in basically for 4 seasons as it goes around, and that the LA Galaxy would be locked in with 3 designated players for 4 seasons, and basically there's no real maneuvering around that unless you were to offload somebody. I think the league has changed a little bit from the Juan Pablo Angel days where the LA Galaxy were able to take a DP and just drop him into Chivas USA's lap, right? So I want you to keep that in mind when you're thinking about this, because I don't think it's not a horrible idea in my mind to understand that locking those players in, there's an opportunity cost, right? When we talked about opportunity cost before, is that if you do something, you can't do something else, And in this case, they seem to be worried about doing something to locking them in long term that would preclude them from doing something else. Now, I'm going to throw out names that are ridiculous, but this is for an example, and you should hang in there with me. So don't roll your eyes immediately. And I'll hear it if you roll your eyes, Wendy.
Because it's audible.
Yeah, I know. Everybody will know immediately. Let's say the LA Galaxy wanted to bring in somebody in the next 2 years. Then you're realistically looking at somebody who you need to sign on an 18-month contract or a 24-month contract. That makes sense. Okay, no problems. Who are you going to get for that 2 years or 18 months? How does that make sense? And then why would you do that? Would a name like Cristiano Ronaldo suddenly becomes available and you have zero flexibility because you don't have any designated players? Or a name similar in scope and size becomes available, and as the LA Galaxy, you were locked in for the next 4 years with three designated players, and hopefully they work, right? Because the other part about this is that no matter who you bring in, doesn't matter who it is, they just brought in Pele Van Aanholt, right? That have no idea if that dude's going to fit into the club, right? Anytime you bring anybody in, you have no idea.
He's got an ACL tear, so he should fit in pretty well.
He's, you know, there's a lot of jokes that are made, obviously, about the physical attractiveness of this team at certain times, and I understand those jokes, but all kidding aside, the LA Galaxy do have a very good-looking team, and every time they sign somebody...
That must be really rough for Ramon Alessandrini when he's so beautiful, and yet he just knows that he's on the same team with Sebastian Legette. He just must look over at him and be like, damn, why? So, why did God thwart me to put me on this team as beautiful as I am next to the most beautiful man that there is?
Right. No, and then that's, I mean, you know, clearly that's something that we can talk about later. But anyway, so I'm saying that in terms of the names that they're thinking of and perhaps the names that they even know of and that they have conversations with, and this is speculation again on my part, they're worried about locking themselves in with three guys all the same contract and whether or not that works and doesn't work. And you still need to, and if you've heard this front office talk, which we have a bunch, they have preached flexibility basically from the beginning of the season. So they're like, oh, we need to be able to be flexible, and we need. So I think it's in their sort of DNA of how they're thinking about things to be flexible in terms of not signing the same guys to the same contracts at the same time and not locking themselves in. That's a lot of speculation on my part, but there's some truth in there that I think still passes on. So that's where we're sitting right now whenever you look at somebody like Gignac or you look at somebody like Jonathan Dos Santos. Okay, Dos Santos is probably, you're not going to be able to land him probably for less than 4 years. And then you have to deal with the added fun of the fact that you're basically appointing a family, which is the Dos Santoses, as sort of this overlord of the LA Galaxy, right? This is the same guy who has said many, many times that, you know, if the Mexican national team doesn't bring in one of his players, that they're both going to sit out. Right. So if they don't bring in one Dos Santos, then they're both of them aren't going to go to the Mexican national team. So this is a guy who loves to flex his power, especially whenever he uses the two brothers. So that's an interesting sort of tidbit whenever you look at the Dos Santos decision or anything like that. I will say that I think Jonathan Dos Santos is in play right now. I just don't think it's at the same level right now that Zlatan is in. So we've had Gignac, which we think is probably because of a money issue. And then we have Jonathan Dos Santos, which is somewhat a money issue, and then probably also and Dos Santos is one that has recently sort of reappeared, so it's not like I've had a whole bunch of time to dissect exactly what it would take to get him, Jonathan Dos Santos, to the LA Galaxy. So that's sort of where we sit in terms of where they're thinking. Yes, they had an A, B, and C, and a D, but I think they're thinking their D plan right now might be the best option for the club, and so that's why there seems to be this shift.
Well, I understand if Tigres is... Yeah, if Tigres is sticking with $15 million, then I understand why they're walking away from that. But why does it have to be any one of those four players? I mean, why couldn't it just be like we bring in a Nicolas Ladero, someone, just some South American who's not famous and just doesn't have an appeal necessarily to bring in Mexican fans? Why can't we just go out, find ourselves a South American who knows what he's doing, and just bring him to the team? Why does it have to be one of these guys?
I think there's two things that always get brought into whenever you're looking at any designated player or any big name player or any, you know, high dollar player. Let's put it that way, because I don't want to think big name or anything like that. So a higher dollar value player, whenever you're going to do that, you have to understand what the impact on the field is and what the impact off the field is. And right now with LAFC coming in, now the front office has said many times they're not worried about LAFC. Right. And every time they've said it, I've said, well, one, you better be worried about LAFC. And two, secretly, you're worried about LAFC, and you should be. So you have to understand, and I was talking with Kevin about this on Monday, of what is going to happen in the next 6 months, Wendy, or next 8 months before LAFC officially starts the season in 2018. The things that I think are going to happen and that I've sort of run through in my head are that LAFC is going to make player signing after player signing. Why? Because they don't have a team. So you're going to get to announce, and they're going to have a fun time doing it as well, they're going to get to announce three designated players. All right, and some of those will probably be, at least one of those will probably be a big name. Might be Chicharito, although even that, and as we talk about the LA Galaxy, it's more a matter of whether he's willing to come to MLS than it ever is about a dollar figure right now. So that's that. So they're going to get to make signing after signing after signing. So you're going to have three designated player signings that you're going to have to deal with as LA Galaxy fans. You're going to have to deal with, I don't know, 10 or 11 other player signings that are going to happen. Maybe even more as those keep continuing to get announced. And what are the LA Galaxy going to get to do while LAFC is announcing all this stuff? They're going to get to do nothing because they already have a team and they already have players and they already have all these things. So there's no excitement that's going to be built, especially with this season the way it's going right now. There's no excitement built towards anything and no counter to what LAFC is going to do. LAFC is going to have the nicest stadium, Wendy. We know that. That's an MLS 3.0 stadium. It will always be better than an MLS 2.0 stadium, just as the LA Galaxy, when they built the Home Depot Center, was the best, was way better than MLS 1.0 stadium in Columbus, right? So there's certain things you're not going to be able to compete with. You're not going to be able to compete with the downtown location, and you will not be able to compete with the signing and repeated signing, you know, thing after thing that's going to build up to basically what I assume is the first game of 2018 will be LA Galaxy hosting LAFC at StubHub Center. I'm saying that because I doubt that their stadium gets done on time. If it's done on time, the LA Galaxy go to LAFC to start the season. All right. And that's probably like the first game of the year, which is the Friday before it really starts on Saturday. The Friday night is going to be LA Galaxy and LAFC, and it's going to be broadcast on ESPN, and it's going to be a big deal.
As a marketing, if it's being done for marketing reasons, which is essentially what you're saying, then as a marketing move, I completely understand it. He is a huge name. He's been famous for many years. He's got a high profile and a huge following and fan base. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of merchandise that is sold from the use of his name and possibly a lot of news stories circulated both here and abroad with respect to his signing for the LA Galaxy. So if the LA Galaxy is essentially a branding company with a soccer team as a sidearm, then I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, in a lot of ways, I see it, you know, in terms of, you know, David Beckham. Sure, they brought David Beckham over because he was a good soccer player, which he was. He was a world-class player, and he was young enough. It all made sense. I mean, that was an easy one to do, right? And then you had this ridiculous interest in him that came from every man, woman, and child I think ever born in the United States between a certain age. And so, you know, that's an easy home run type of thing. I think that Zlatan has a Beckham-esque appeal. It's certainly not the same. I don't think anybody's ever going to be the same as David Beckham in terms of appeal. Cristiano Ronaldo's probably the closest. I was talking to a former MLS player today, and he was saying, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo is probably the closest you're ever going to get to David Beckham. He goes, and Messi doesn't quite make it because of the whole English thing, and maybe Neymar eventually grows to be that guy. But right now, David Beckham is sort of that echelon. It goes probably, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and then Zlatan in terms of the overall worldwide appeal that you can get. Here's the thing that from the marketing side, and clearly there's two sides, and we're only talking about one right now. Here's the thing with the marketing side is that if you have Zlatan Ibrahimovic, it kind of doesn't matter who LAFC signs. Zlatan's still the quote-unquote bigger name right now, all right? And that works up until a certain point. And so you get to sort of counter all of that with one signing, and you do it soon. My guess is if they do go with Zlatan, this deal happens, you know, quickly. I don't think it's going to get drawn out. I don't think it'll be out there for very long. You know what the LA Galaxy want to do? They want to sell some season tickets to people who have been saying, you know, I'm out of here. And there will be some people who will see this as a reason for that and say, screw you, I'm not going to buy season tickets. I know what you're trying to do, which I completely understand. And then there's going to be a ton of people who also say and have, on my Twitter feed said, I will absolutely renew my season tickets right now if they sign Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So there's, and I will say this is the most divided. Usually, Wendy, we can find a consensus, right? When Ashley Cole was coming to the LA Galaxy, the consensus was the LA Galaxy didn't want Ashley Cole, right? The LA Galaxy fans didn't want him. Whenever Steven Gerrard came, I would say it was more mixed. I think people expected that he would be better. I think that...
I think people really were in favor of it. I think that that was maybe... I thought that maybe the lesson we took from that was that we shouldn't sign 35-year-old players, but...
No, well, I mean, and this is where we get to the on-field stuff. So, I mean, again, I've never seen the LA Galaxy fan base in terms of just people on Twitter. This is what I'm using as my sort of measuring stick, right? I've never seen people this divided because I get people who say, this is the worst thing the LA Galaxy could ever do. I will never renew my season tickets. They're being stupid with their money. They're just throwing money away, blah, 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 the whole thing. And then I get the people saying, please sign Zlatan. It's the thing I've been dreaming of. I can't wait to see him in LA Galaxy kit. Should I order my kit now? I'm going to renew season tickets. I'm probably going to get a couple extras. And so you get this whole flip back and forth. And I'll be honest that, you know, I think both of them are probably right. I think you have every right to be cautious. You're talking about a 35-year-old who's coming off a major ACL injury. A guy, nonetheless, who scored, am I going to get it wrong? 17 goals in 28 games? I think that's what it was. 17 goals in 28 games in the English Premier League for Manchester United. The freak injury, which I have a video of in the article that I wrote for Corner of the Galaxy about Zlatan. So, I mean, it's a gamble. You're talking about guys right now, and I feel pretty confident, and you can tell me if you think I'm right, Wendy. I feel like Chris Klein and Pete Vianis are guys who are either going to save their jobs with a signing like this because it all works out and everything's wonderful and the LA Galaxy sell out a whole bunch of games, and they start winning and, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. And whether or not that happens in 2018... or possibly at the end of the season, which I'll talk about here in a little bit sooner. Whether that happens, they could save their jobs. I'll tell you this, if it goes sideways, what was the biggest argument that we heard about AEG at the end of the season, the 2016 season, when Robbie Keane and Steven Gerrard were sitting on the bench?
That they were spending $10 million on players who were sitting on the bench and not playing for the team.
There you go. So you could have a repeat of that very easily, right? This totally makes sense, and I can see it both ways. I don't have a direction to lean on this. I think that marketing wise and in terms of league exposure and in terms of battling LAFC in the marketing arena, it's a good move for the LA Galaxy, and I understand why they're willing to take a very big gamble. But that's what this is. It's a gamble. It's a roll of the dice, and you have to basically believe that 35-year-old Zlatan Ibrahimovic, coming off of a major knee injury, will give you enough to, one, be a dominant force in Major League Soccer, because you're probably going to pay him higher than anybody else has ever been paid in Major League Soccer in terms of salary. The reports out right now are $7.7 million, which is above the $7.1 million that Kaká is currently being paid. This also follows the reports, by the way, at the beginning of the year, Wendy, where Kevin Baxter had actually reported that... Kevin Baxter had reported that the LA Galaxy had made a record-breaking offer to a player, and we eventually realized that player was Zlatan, and this was prior to his injury and everything else that sort of came in that. So, I mean, this has been a long train and path to get here, but it looks like the LA Galaxy are still focused very much on Zlatan.
Yeah, I think I agree. I read Kevin Baxter's article. It does look that way. It does definitely look that way.
So here is the stuff that is from my article, which is a little different than Kevin's. I have sources who have told me the LA Galaxy are in talks with Zlatan Ibrahimovic. That's a definite, and I feel confident in confirming that. So there is something that is actually happening with the LA Galaxy and Zlatan Ibrahimovic or his representatives right now. The other part of that is that I also have a different source saying that that they have reached a point that a deal may be imminent, although I think that might be jumping the gun a little bit. I still think there's some hurdles to sort of solve in this. So that's where we're at right now in terms of that. I think that if you're leaning and looking at anything, like I said at the beginning of this, Jonathan Dos Santos for me is still in play for the LA Galaxy. All right? Which is interesting because if you look at all the other targets, Wendy, we know that those targets...
Yeah, they're all attackers.
They're all strikers. And Jonathan Dos Santos is a midfielder. Here's the problem, obviously another problem that you have with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and that's the time frame, because we've all heard January 2018. All right? So if that's the case, then, you better tell Jack McBean that he's getting a lot of minutes for the rest of the year, because that's what's going to happen for the LA Galaxy, and you're going to have a defender, and hopefully you get healthy, and the team gets... you know, better. And you have to hope for the best and cross your fingers that that's enough, one, to get them into the playoffs, and two, make them a competitive team in the West, which I think is a possibility because the Western Conference is the weaker conference this year. I mean, if you look at the Galaxy now, only winning one home game all year, they're not really out of the playoff picture. I mean, they're under the line, but they're certainly within striking distance of getting there. So if you look at all that, that's what you're saying if it's January 2018.
That means that every LA Galaxy season ticket holder is going to spend the rest of 2017 watching this team lose game after game after game after game. And if I was Chris Klein, I would really be thinking about whether the promise of Zlatan maybe being ready to play a full season in 2018, if the prospect of that was so tantalizing that fans would be willing to go through the rest of this year and what the rest of this year is going to be like just in order to see that happen.
Well, here's one thing. You're making an assumption that this team doesn't get any better. And I think
it has to get better. It couldn't get worse. But I mean, like, I think the LA Galaxy fan base is in a peculiar state right now because I think it's unaccustomed to seeing the team lose at home so much.
Yeah.
And I've been to every home game this season, and the fan base is sort of turning in a way which I've never seen. And I've been a season ticket holder for I don't know how many years, but I've never seen a crowd like the crowds that we're getting now at the LA Galaxy. And I agree with you. I think that this is like roulette. This is like playing roulette. It really is. It's like you're going to Las Vegas and you're putting it all on like black 17. You're saying, I'm laying my money on here. And if I hit, I'm going to hit. And this is going to be the biggest, craziest splash. We're winning MLS Cup. Around the world is going to know our names. And if not, it's going to be like an epic nuclear explosion of disaster. And it's just like, it is a high risk proposal, because I remember at the start of the season when we were having the first Super Pod and we discussed the recovery rates for ACL tears, for injuries. And I did all that research. I read all those medical journals about what is the likelihood that a player recovers from an ACL tear 12 months in, and it's very low. And the rates of re-injury are very high. And that is a problem that's exacerbated when you get older. So, I mean, the odds that Zlatan recovers fully, those odds are low, but then the odds that he re-injures himself at some time during rehabilitation or in preseason, or even at the beginning of next season, the odds of that are high. And yeah. I mean, if, you know, Jermaine Jones is, you know, a paradigm for what could happen to a player who is in 35, 36 years old, who injures himself, I mean, it's not like it's an unforeseen prospect that Zlatan could very easily re-injure himself and just simply never play for the LA Galaxy, even if he's signed to an 18-month contract.
I was going to say 18 years sounds a little long to me.
Yeah, 18-month contract.
Yeah, 18-month. No, and that is the big risk right now, and it's what are you going to be able to get out of Zlatan? And so, I mean, it's absolutely a risk, and it's a gamble, and it's everything else. Trying to put myself in that position, I mean, here's the thing. And this is difficult. And obviously this podcast really does preach and reach the people who are most interested in the LA Galaxy, the diehards. You're not going to find the casual LA Galaxy fan listening to this podcast. But here is the real sort of thing is that, you know, most of the stadium isn't filled up with diehards. And that's always difficult for me to understand. But I also have to remember Twitter is not real life. And, you know, this podcast is not real life in terms of the representation of what the LA Galaxy fan base is. And I would say that right now, the LA Galaxy fan base as a whole is uninterested in what's going on. I think that obviously with the losing.
They're interested, yeah.
You're losing, but even if you were winning with the players that are on the team, I think the attendance would be better. And I honestly think that if the home record was flipped with the away record right now, that people would also be a little more. It's really difficult to go to a game and know you're going to lose every time, right? So, I mean, that's the part. If the home record was what the away record was, I think people would be a little bit calmer. Not much. I'm not saying it like gets totally flipped around, but at least I think somebody wrote in and said, hey, it would be just like Bruce Arena years. He never wins on the road and they win at home. So, you know, I can sort of see some of that. Here's sort of the thing is that if this doesn't work and if it all goes away, I think the best case scenario for people who don't like Cardinolfo and sort of want the front office out is to get everybody healthy and then have no more excuses of why this LA Galaxy team isn't winning. And I think that would force a change. them being locked in, they're already locked in with Roman Alessandrini, which seems like a good signing, by the way, and I think they did a good job with him. And Joao Pedro seemed like a good signing that they made. So, you know, that one's okay. The Jermaine Jones deal, I don't know that he makes it back after next year. You know, I know that I believe that it's a 2-year deal, but that's, I always assume things are 2-year deals, and usually that's what they are, but they might have an option in there. So I don't think Jermaine Jones is coming back. That doesn't make any sense to me. So it's all these things are sort of pointing to. If you're an LA Galaxy fan that wants to see a change in the organization, let everybody get healthy and then let them fail, and then people will get fired.
This is sort of something that it puzzles me is that, you know, we signed Steven Gerrard when he was 35, didn't play particularly well. He wasn't terrible. He was good at times and bad at times, but he missed a lot of games due to injury. And that was compounded, I'm sure, by age, fitness, travel, et cetera. Then we signed Jermaine Jones, who's also 36, and he has a previous ACL tear. And we have a spate. He becomes re-injured, and we have a spate of injuries, and people are saying, but how could we possibly have predicted? How could we have known that we would have injuries? But, you know, Robbie Rogers has had 8 surgeries, and at the end of last season, the team knew he was injured and that he would have to have another injury, and they knew that Jermaine Jones had had an injury and that he was likely to have another injury, and now we're signing a 35-year-old who just 6 weeks ago suffered terrible, terrible injury, an ACL tear. And yet we're going to sign him. And so I hope that I never in the future hear anyone ever say, how could anyone have known or predicted that the LA Galaxy would be plagued by injuries? Because it seems perfectly logical to me that we would currently be suffering from injuries because we incorporate players into our roster, including, by the way, the right back that we just signed, who has suffered apparently a litany of injuries. But so if we continue to sign players who suffer from injuries, then I hope that people no longer make the argument that it is an inconceivable and unforeseeable plight that the LA Galaxy are suffering, that they have so many injuries.
Yeah, but that explains 2 people on the roster right now. You have Sebastian
Legette. If he goes down.
Okay, so 3 people. So you have Sebastian Legette and Bajio Husidic. You have Daniel Starez. You have Brian Rowe. I'm trying to think of who else has been injured during this time. The bottom line is that, yes, the LA Galaxy could have foreseen some injuries in some of those cases. And certainly with Jermaine Jones, that was always the greatest fear. But you look at Sebastian Legette, nobody expected him to get injured. And he was supposed to have, everybody knows, and this is the saddest thing in the world. And I'm sorry, I'm getting text messages while we're doing this, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm paying attention to those as well, because stuff is still happening as we speak.
Uh-oh. Yeah, we're going to get off this podcast, and Ibrahimovic will have the number 9 LA Galaxy jersey.
Yeah, you want to know something? Something somebody told me that Chris Tucker actually told me this. He said that last week, or maybe even like 2 weeks ago, if you went to customize an LA Galaxy jersey and you typed in Ibrahimovic, you couldn't do it because it was too many letters, okay? If you do that today, it works. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just, again, mm-hmm. Little tiny things. Little hints, little clues. But with Sebastian Legette, nobody could have predicted his injury, and he was supposed to have a breakout year for the LA Galaxy. He was as a sure thing as there was. You look at, Bajio Husidic, which, granted, you know, you hope you don't have to get to Bajio, but they certainly planned on that if Jermaine Jones was going to have issues, that Bajio Husidic would be okay. And his injury, he goes and rolls on crappy turf and snaps his leg. You look at Jossi Zardes even, that hadn't been injury prone before this, and he goes and he gets injured last year with a broken foot, something you're like, oh, I mean, that's bad, but it shouldn't be horrible. I mean, when you think of, hey, Wendy, a broken foot, is that career ending? Will that alter things? And for the most part, you'd be like, oh, no, he probably should be fine. It's not something like muscular that we always worry about, which like Zlatan with the ACLs or MCLs and different things that, you know, that you can sort of look at the repeat injuries. And granted, anytime you break a bone, you're more likely to break that bone, not in the same place, but around that place again. So all of these things sort of feed into it. But as much as this of the injuries that could have been predicted, you also couldn't predict the amount of injuries the Galaxy have had this year. Because yes, Jones, yes, Rogers, those were both bad, and we'll discuss those, you know, at length forever. But you couldn't have predicted Legette or Starez now, who's been out
for a while. That we have had the experience of Rogers, and that we have had the experience of Jermaine Jones, and we previously had the experience of Steven Gerrard and Robbie Keane missing much of last season, surely by now we have some insight into the idea that a 35-year-old who has torn an ACL, there is a profound risk that that player will never actually be able to be healthy for your team.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the risk, and that's the gamble that they're willing to take, because they think that the payoff, that if it does pay out, if it does pay off and do things, that it's, you know, it's the payout is huge, and that the success could come from that, and that you could look at an LA Galaxy team that once again is dominant. I mean, if you can get Zlatan to perform anywhere near what he performed against in the EPL this last year, you have a dominant striker in Major League Soccer, and he's going to score a ton of goals for the LA Galaxy. If he can't get healthy and doesn't come on top of it, then you're done. That's it. And that's how it goes. And that's the gamble that they're willing to take right now.
It's a huge gamble. It's a
huge gamble anyway. You look at Bastian Schweinsteiger even coming to Chicago. And granted, a lot younger. Not going to even argue that point for a second. He's 31 years old. But people panned, and myself included, said, dude, that guy has had a ton of injuries. He's not going to be able to do anything in Major League Soccer. And you look what the Chicago Fire have been able to do with him, and certainly because of him. He's not the entire reason. You have Nikolic up top. You have Juninho, who's in there. By the way, there was
Dax McCarty.
Yeah, Dax McCarty as well. And so you have a really interesting midfield. And by the way, and the other part of it was, everybody was like, how does Bastian Schweinsteiger fit into a midfield with Dax McCarty and Juninho? That doesn't make any sense, right? And so again, it goes to show us that we can't predict these things. I've seen, as somebody told me on Twitter, I've seen sure things be absolute failures, and I've seen absolute failures become sure things, and how could you ever miss them? And you're not going to know until you get it. There is an absolutely very, very high risk with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, but if you're weighing that against what you can get for that, perhaps it makes sense. At least it might make sense for this LA Galaxy front office. So I think that's sort of where we go. I want you, Wendy, tell me the best reasons to sign Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Okay, I'll tell you the best reasons to sign Zlatan, and then you have to tell me the worst reasons.
Yes,
to
I will
sign.
Do that.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right, so here, this is excellent training for anyone who ever wants to know if they want to go to law school. The one test I always give people is, like, for Sean Steffen, I think, when he was talking about law school, I think he said, because he always was attacking Bruce.
Right.
And he said, I didn't like Bruce Arena. I'm like, okay, you hate Bruce Arena? Okay, you want to know whether you should go to law school? Okay. Give me all the best reasons why Bruce Arena is the best coach in MLS. Mm-hmm. Because it's the ultimate, like, to be the devil's advocate and to advocate for an opinion that you disagree with is a great test for whether you would make a good lawyer, because it makes you to have to really critically analyze your own viewpoint and try and attack it and break it down. So the best reasons to sign Ibrahimovic. One, from a marketing perspective, he has an enormous fan base. He has fans all over the world. He's a national hero in Sweden. He is, branded to the hilt. Could bring in huge money to the LA Galaxy merchandise-wise. A lot of people who otherwise would not pay attention to the LA Galaxy, who follow Liga MX, who follow European soccer, they hear the name Ibrahimovic is coming to Los Angeles, and they are going to go out and buy themselves a pair of tickets to an LA Galaxy game just for the sheer spectacle of going to see Ibrahimovic, even if they don't even pay attention and they don't even know that he's injured right now.
Right.
I mean, you could get people like showing up to a game, because this happened to me all the time when Gerrard was playing, as I would get there and there would be a couple of Liverpool players there and they're like, is Gerrard? And I'm like, he's not even playing. He's injured. He's on the bench. And they're like, I actually had two different games where someone told me they flew from England. They flew from England to watch him play. And I'm so sorry. He's not playing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's not going to be here for that. Him and Frank Lampard have decided not to play. I apologize.
Right. But I mean, in the case of Ibrahimovic, there's going to be people who just buy tickets just because they hear he's in Los Angeles and they don't care about the Galaxy at all.
Yep. That's so a positive, by the way. That's still, I agree that that's still a positive. Yes.
That's like a curiosity factor, right? So that's you're going to have a pickup in season ticket sales. You're going to have tons of merch. You're going to be able to brand the hell out of him, right? That's going to continue. The LA Galaxy will be able to continue this mantra, which they constantly push, that like, we're the greatest. Then, you know, we have Beckham and Gerrard and Ibrahimovic. They all came and played for us. There's that. I think that in terms of MLS as a league branding itself, I think that there's a lot of appeal for that. I'm sure MLSsoccer.com, they're going to throw up articles about him over and over again. In terms of the play on the field, there is a chance. I think it's unlikely. I mean, I think when I was doing my research and those articles that I read, they said that the likelihood that a player who injures himself off of an ACL goes back to his full recovery is low. It's like 30% or something like that, but mm-hmm. partial recovery is higher. For a 35-year-old, those rates would be lower. For a brutal ACL tear, I think it's probably lower. I know that Ibrahimovic's agent was saying that, like, the doctors were astonished when they saw had the ligaments in Ibrahimovic's knee, because there were, like, no ligaments that any man had ever seen. But as it turns out, when they interviewed the doctors who had performed the surgery, it turns out he just has normal human ligaments. So,
what? Wait, he's a normal human? That's a negative. I'll be speaking to that negative if he's a normal human being.
So I think that there is a chance that he recovers, in which case, if he is able to play as a striker for the LA Galaxy, there's no doubt that if he's healthy, he would be overwhelming to MLS defenses, that he would tear them apart, because right. he is an incredibly intelligent player. He's unbelievably gifted. He's unfathomably competitive, creative, athletic. He's a monstrous competitor. And I've read his autobiography, and there's a part of him which sees challenges like this almost as like a red flag in front of a bull. You know, he loves to embrace really difficult challenges because he has a background. He came from a family, he had a Serbian father. He was malnourished as a child. There was never any food in the house. He was constantly being told, you know, negative things. And he sees every challenge as something to overthrow. And so I think that a part of him would really embrace the idea that no one thinks he's going to recover.
Right.
And then use that as an opportunity to show people wrong again and demonstrate how he is this ultimate competitor. So I think that he'll do everything he can to succeed. And if he does, he would destroy MLS competition.
Yeah, no, I think you're good. You got enough positives in there.
I think that
demonstrates the upside. Now here's the negative side, and it's going to be a lot shorter because, quite honestly, the negative side is actually a larger portion of this, in terms of actual, you know, detriment to what could happen. But there, you know, the negative side really is that he's 35 years old, that he has the very real possibility of never being able to completely return to anything near a competitive sort of fitness in order to be able to play for the LA Galaxy. You're looking at the LA Galaxy putting in a ton of money on a player that they're going to have to play probably over the next 18 months, and that locks them from doing something like getting a younger player, like somebody like Dario Benedetto, regardless of whether that would happen now or in the January transfer window. We talk about opportunity costs of not doing this. Sometimes if you don't do this, you could actually see who is available in the January transfer window. And maybe the names that we've given are different names than, you know, what appears in January, which happens every single time. We never know what the names are going to be. So the Galaxy, by doing this, are still locking themselves into a rather inflexible sort of way. The other sort of negative that could possibly come out of this is that as I have done the research on and have been yet to told that I am wrong on, despite having many, many conversations and still reaching out to MLS to get exact verification, the LA Galaxy do not have an international spot available right now. All right, 8 of 8 with Van Aanholt. There's a small clause in the season-ending injury list, and we're going to segue a little bit because this is a good time to talk about this. There's a small clause in the season-ending injury list rule that says if that player who gets put on the season-ending injury list is an international player, then you can bring in another international player who would occupy that slot. Well, the problem is Robbie Rogers is not an international player, and they specifically call out that rule. So my guess is they don't get a pass just because he's on the season-ending injury list. So the LA Galaxy don't have an international spot available right now. That doesn't mean that they can't get one open. It's actually pretty easy for them probably to do it. They could either buy one from somebody. I think New England has 4 spots available. They only have 24 players on their roster, by the way. So they have 4 spots available. And then, or they could, I think they could even transfer somebody down to USL, or somebody gets their green card that didn't have it before. So those are sort of the ways that they can do it. But that's a negative right now, just in the fact if they have to transfer somebody down to maybe USL, somebody like Raul Mendiola, you know, that's a chance now that he won't get a chance to play up on the senior team. I don't even know if that's legal, by the way. That's just sort of a flyer that I'm taking. So that's a negative for me as well. The other problem is that the LA Galaxy are basically staking their brand right before LAFC comes into the league that this is going to be successful. And if this isn't successful, Wendy, then they have basically set the team back maybe 2-3 years. I don't think it's more. In Major League Soccer, you can literally go from being one of the worst teams in the league to one of the better teams in the league rather quickly. But it's still going to take a while to, one, get over the fact that you're going to have to fire a coach, fire a president, fire a general manager, and perhaps get somebody at AEG fired as well. You're going to have to deal with that. And as you're dealing with that, things don't get done. It's a transition period. So things aren't going to happen. So it takes at least a year, 2 years for that transition period to be over. And then you have to deal with a new coach, a new general manager, a new president, and a new, you know, person at AEG. All those things take time. They take effort. And it's not something that just gets done in an off season, despite the fact that it tried to get done in an off season this time. So those are, you know, I'm trying to think of other negatives. If, I mean, there's a real possibility this fails. And if this fails,
you alienate your fan base. That's a risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they're already doing that right now. So you're at a point right now where this is a turning point. It's either a good turning point or a bad turning point. We don't know what it is. And if they sign Zlatan Ibrahimovic, which sources have told me they're at least talking, and that that could be a deal, could be imminent. If you look at all those things, then I think there's a possibility that the LA Galaxy, you know, go move forward with Zlatan. Again, I think that Jonathan Dos Santos is still in there, but that's sort of where we sit on transfer news, and it only took us 54 minutes to get all the way through that.
You're always worried if we're not going to have enough time, like enough to talk about, and we always go over, always, always, always.
Well, this time specifically, I knew that there was probably enough to talk about just in the transfer sort of windows thing. So if you guys have, you know, we're also opening up the phone lines now, 949-734-4217. The line is on the screen. If you want to give us a call and tell us yay or nay on Zlatan, we'll be sure to take those calls as we sort of try to figure some stuff out here towards the end. But we don't have a game to preview because nobody's going to preview that Manchester United game because nobody cares. And in fact, I question you. If you are caring, I question you. Okay, that is just straight up.
I can't even sell my tickets. So
I think I have one ticket left.
Oh, you managed to sell your tickets?
Hey, nobody's getting rich off this, okay? Geez. Nobody's getting rich off this, Wendy.
I know, I can't sell my tickets for face value.
I mean,
that's okay because I can't sell my regular season tickets for one-third face value, so that's okay.
I sold some above, and now there's some below, and I think I'll break even. So that's not bad, but... I mean, that is also, I think, an accurate predictor of what the LA Galaxy are currently going through, which is... Or at least an indicator, not necessarily a predictor, an indicator of what the Galaxy are going through. If this game happens last year, there's no way my tickets are still available. That doesn't happen. And that goes to, and you look at that team. That team was not a good team in terms of results. Now, it was a good team in terms of how it was constructed. The most underachieving team probably in Major League Soccer history was that team last year. There was no reason that they should have finished third in the Western Conference and got knocked out of the playoffs. There's absolutely no reason. And it was at least exciting enough that they should have drawn better and done better. And if this game was this year, if that game was last year, that we would have sold tickets, that tickets would have been an issue. So anyway, Manchester United, 7 p.m. kickoff time, I believe, LA Galaxy on Saturday. If you're going there, I'll see you there. I will be in the press box the July 15th. All that fun stuff is there. I think we have a call. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I had a call, but I wasn't paying attention. So next time... So whoever called, call back again. We'll get you back on. That's how it works. We'll make it all work. So that's sort of where we sit. The LA Galaxy do have a game coming up on July 19th against the Vancouver Whitecaps. Particularly pay attention to this game, Wendy, because I'm told that this is the game that has been targeted for some players to come back. I don't think you're going to see Alessandrini, and I don't think you're going to see Pedro over this particular break. You know, I think
are they injured or are they injured?
They had some minor injuries, and so they were holding them out so that way they could take this rest and take this break and that they will come back and be 100%. Neither of them have been 100% for a while. This is just the games piling up and building on there. All right, we got a call for him. 310, who's this?
This is Rene from Long Beach.
Hey, how's it going? What do you got for Zlatan?
Well, before he was injured, I was excited about it.
Yes.
Because Zlatan is a beast. Everywhere he goes, he scores goals. But as of now, we need somebody that's going to make an impact now.
Mm-hmm.
Buying him now when he's not fit until January is wasting money and doesn't do anything for the team right now. I get the marketing aspect and whatever the long term. That's if he's able to get back anywhere close to where he was. I mean, he is 35, but I feel like it will be a waste because he can't help us right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very real and accurate description of what could happen. I will say that I don't think the LA Galaxy will be paying him any money this year. All right, so if he's not coming into January, if he's not going to be available until January, now there's some people who are saying October is a possibility. All right, and that's not that it would be. It would be way ahead of time. Some people are saying pre-Christmas. But so far in his recovery and the way things are gone, there are people who are saying he is tracking towards a faster than normal recovery right now. That's just what people are saying.
If we sign him, I hope and pray, but see what happens.
Does it at least give you hope for next year if they signed him right now and you said, hey, maybe this year won't go that great. Granted, guys are going to come back. And maybe this team can pick up some momentum and do some things in the second half. But does it give you better hope or less hope for next year if they sign Zlatan now?
It all depends on his recovery. If he doesn't get re-injured and if he can be fully fit. I mean, we don't know. You can say he's ahead of whatever, but anything can happen with 35 old bones.
Hey, I'm going to be 36 soon, all right? Let's not just throw all the 35-year-olds into the dustbin, all right?
Well, with this injury.
All right. We'll see. If I tear my ACL, we'll see how quickly I can return to podcasting. I appreciate the call, all right?
All right, thanks, Jeff.
All right. Bye. So there we go. We got that one done, and we'll do that, and we'll press buttons here. And we have another call who's coming on as well, so let's try to get to this one. 347, who's this?
Hi, this is Angel from Brooklyn.
Hey, Brooklyn. I believe this is our first call from Brooklyn. Wendy, we're moving up in the world.
Oh, I love it. I love Brooklyn.
All right, what do you got? Yeah. What do you got for us?
No, I'm just thinking that Zlatan would be a great deal for the Galaxy. Obviously, there's a huge risk with the ACL, but for three reasons in a row, which you touched on. Number one is a free transfer, so it'd be less than Gignac would get, but with the transfer fee and the amount of money he would want.
Right.
Two, they could miss the playoffs, but they could anticipate Zlatan being healthy, so they could sell it to the fan base for next year.
Right.
And like you said, there'll be no player that LAFC could sign that would top Zlatan Ibrahimovic just alone on one sign that would top him alone.
So they could
just use that, they can miss the playoffs, and that will be good enough for the new season. We're like, all right, we got Zlatan, let's see what happens.
Right.
But I think on those reasons, it would be beneficial. And obviously, the marketability of Zlatan. Honestly, the one thing I don't like about MLS is that a lot of personalities are very boring. Not a lot of fun personalities that you could like listen to and chime into. Zlatan is the exact opposite of that.
Right.
Every time he speaks, you listen to what he has to say, and that's huge for not only the Galaxy, obviously, but for the league as a whole. They hear Zlatan speak at every post-game, pre-game, whatever. So that's going to bring just a million more eyeballs for the league as a whole, and I think you can't deny what impact that's going to have. Regardless if he plays to the ability he had when he was at EPL, half of that would be good enough because, you know, MLS is obviously a lesser league than the EPL, but that would still be good enough. And I think, like I said, 18-month contract, it won't be the worst thing in the world. I think it will be a win at the end of the day for the Galaxy.
Hey, fingers crossed on that one. We'll see it. I appreciate the call. Thanks.
No problem.
All right, so there we go. So look, at least in our short little people were taking calls and people are listening and we're doing things here, Wendy. We got one for and sort of one against. I think that
accurately represents what the LA Galaxy fan base is. You're right. It's a very polarizing move. There's a lot of people who are potentially really alienated and see this as a cynical ploy that is really designed more as a marketing move than a move designed to improve the team. And then there's other people who see it as a genius move, could be unbelievable. Zlatan is the man. You know, all that. You know, it's just like there's people are so divided on this.
The real question, and the one that has not been asked nor answered yet, Wendy, is that if Zlatan Ibrahimovic joins the LA Galaxy, will he come on the Corner of the Galaxy podcast? I say yes.
Way.
I say definitely. Are you kidding? I have a microphone. You know he loves microphones, except for that one time he threw the microphone into the water.
You know something? I do know, actually, Josh, that because I've read his book, I do know that he happens to have a little thing for powerful blondes.
So I'll dye my hair blonde and we will get this thing going. I like that. That's a good news.
He prefers women. I think he might prefer women.
He can prefer all he wants. He has not seen this 36-year-old body in front of him yet. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, so that's sort of where we sit. I would say please follow me on Twitter at Galaxy Podcast, and I will do my best to update you. We are getting updates constantly right now. I would imagine that we have hit the fervor in terms of the sort of the peak of the fervor has happened. And as these signings sort of go, Wendy, it always follows a pretty predictable pattern. There's this huge peak. Everybody reports things. Things are being reported, blah, 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 blah. And then there's this drop-off as paperwork is actually done, and it takes a while. And if there is an offer, if there are things that are happening, we expect LA Galaxy president Chris Klein to be back in the States on Friday, at least. Whether he's coming back Thursday night or Friday, he will be back. You can expect to see him around the Manchester United game. So if you see him, ask him when Zlatan's coming. That's what I would do if I was you. So you're going to get all this stuff, but there's going to be a little pause in things. And I don't think the LA Galaxy, if they're going to sign him, because he's not an immediate impact player, Wendy, in terms of he's not going to join, you know, in August. If that happens, I think they're going to be very strategic about when they try and announce. And it'll probably be to the point, Wendy, where you and I will already know it's done. And it's just, you know, hey, they might announce it and then hold a press conference, you know, 2 months later or something like that in order to sort of build some of that. And just because of the timing, he's not an immediate impact guy. He's not going to be here. And I think that's the biggest sort of hit for me in the short term and for LA Galaxy fans is that you're going to have to survive and ride this particular season out to this point. And that's tough.
We had a couple callers saying, like, at what point do you write off the season? You know, I mean, in MLS, do you really write off a season? But we're kind of getting there where you, as a fan, you could reasonably say, so this season, like Chris Klein, and it's just not happening. Like this season's just not coming together.
That's a really, I would say that again, I don't think the Galaxy are out of anything, but you're getting closer. Eventually as it dwindles, as we continue towards October, Wendy, you know, it begins to dwindle and you have to look realistically at where you're at. The LA Galaxy are not a good team even compared to their old teams. And, you know, we've done the charts and seen that stuff up on cornerthegalaxy.com. So that's sort of where we're at. I don't have any more info for you. We didn't really talk much about Pelé Van Aanholt. I will tell you that his contract status, it has been clarified. The LA Galaxy will receive cap relief for Pelé Van Aanholt because apparently he agreed to terms in the primary transfer window. And because of that, they will be able to basically use whatever money he is under Robbie Rogers' salary as basically a back. So they were only paying for his salary and not Robbie Rogers' salary, which we had heard that wasn't the case. At the very beginning and sort of followed it through, but apparently MLS says that is not the case, and Jeff Carlisle from ESPN FC, good buddy Jeff, he reported it originally one way and then got clarification on it and reported the second way. So if you know anything about that, that's good news for Galaxy fans in terms of salary cap and salary cap relief, and we'll find out how much he's making and what his hit is on the cap whenever the MLS releases that second batch of numbers whenever they come out. But it was free transfer as well. All that stuff is good. He trained with the LA Galaxy for the first time on Thursday. As we record the show, it's Thursday. He is expected, I think, to train again on Friday, and he might.
And his handsomeness intimidates you.
He does, definitely. 26 years old. Mm-hmm. He seems like he's got a good, solid look to him in terms of he looks like a defender. He's wearing number 2, which hurts my heart a little bit because Todd Dunham it. But you know, I will survive and move on and persevere because I'm not about retiring numbers. Just in your heart? Just in your heart you retire numbers, Wendy? That's where you do it?
Tom Dunham retired like 2 years ago. People scream at me about AJ. Come on. I mean, my wound is more recent than yours.
It still hurts. It still hurts, Wendy.
It still hurts. Still hurts.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, so that's sort of where we stand on Van Aanholt. I hope to have more information on him and an updated story sort of on how that all went down here in the next week or two. But Zlatan is unfortunately sometimes taking over all of my free time. So that's where we're at right now. LA Galaxy in hot pursuit of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. We'll see if anything gets done. We have a live our show coming up on Monday. Kevin Baxter will be back. He will be out traveling. We'll have another show next Thursday. So we will be keeping you up to date. And again, if you go on Twitter, that's where you will find all of the latest, most interesting stuff that I can find. All right, Wendy, you good?
Yep.
All right. Tell people where they can find you. We'll get out of here.
You can find me at Corner of the Galaxy in American Soccer Now and on Twitter at BardsBlonde.
All right. And if you're looking for me on Twitter, it's at Jay Guessman, JGUESMAN. And of course, at Galaxy Podcast is the Twitter handle. Head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com to get all your latest news. My article about Zlatan and all the information that I have about that is up there and ready for you to read. So please head on over and do that. Let's see. I think that's about it. LA Galaxy versus Manchester United in the game nobody cares about. And then next Wednesday against the Vancouver Whitecaps, where we expect some people to be healthy. Perhaps even Jermaine Jones is healthy. Let's see how that all works out. It'll be interesting. The second half isn't going to be boring, folks. going to be interesting. For Miss Wendy Thomas, I'm Josh Gessman. We hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful night. Remember, it's offside, not offsides. There's no S in the end. Everyone have a great night. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.